In the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, we have the account that's very familiar relating to two men who passed from this life. One of them, by implication, was a man faithful, rich in faith, though in this world's goods he had nothing. The other man was a man who was very prosperous physically, and yet spiritually he was destitute. After the men passed from this life, the Bible tells us in verse 22, "So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.' Then he said, 'I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' And he said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.'" In these words, Jesus relates to us several truths that are important to think about as we contemplate the reality of death and the fact that it comes to all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, whether you're poor. Death will come to each one of us, and we will have to be prepared for it. And in this case, we see two men, one prepared and the other was not. And it's not as if the rich man had no religious knowledge, because he knew Abraham. He was familiar with the law under which he lived, the law of Moses, but he was not one who had submitted his life to the teaching of Moses. Moses had commanded that God's people, the Jewish people, were to consider and care for those who were in poverty. They were to leave the corners of their field when they went out to take in the harvest so that the poor would have what they needed. They could take of the remains that were left there and have some food to eat. Here was a man who wouldn't even lift his finger, so to speak, to help a man who was there at his gate. He did not provide for him. He didn't meet the needs of someone who was obviously destitute right before his eyes. And so here is a man that in various ways, though his sins are not all laid out for us, we see the end result of the life that he lived. He was one who knew lots about making money, being prosperous physically, taking care of himself and his goods, but he didn't know much about caring for others and caring about what God said through his word. As a result, when we find the two leaving this life, we find them in two very, very different outcomes. One is in torment. The other is in comfort. The rich man was not tormented just because he was rich and he had had it good, so now he has to suffer. And neither is Lazarus comforted because he had it bad in this life. But the reason why each finds themselves in the situations that they are is because of choices that they made while in this life. Jesus tells us that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. That's what we're told today, that God will provide for the necessities of our life. We may have to suffer, go through hardships, but if we put first things first, we will be able to find ourselves in a place of comfort after this life is over. There's no promise of wealth and riches, but there is the promise that we will be relieved from the burdens of this life, and we will be comforted in a place of paradise when we leave. In the end, after the judgment comes, then we will receive the crown of eternal life and the mansions that have been prepared by Jesus for the faithful. But we learn here from this rich man that when death comes, there is no reversing things, changing things. Things are fixed. There's no finding comfort if you're tormented. And there's no giving relief to the tormented if you are one of the ones that are in the place of paradise. Jesus here in the pleading that he tells us about, that the rich man speaks to Abraham with, indicates that this man now, though he didn't in his lifetime, had a lot of concern for family members. He speaks about his brothers. He didn't warn them. He didn't plead with them while he was alive. But now, because of his realization of what happens when you live like he had lived and he knew his brother's situation, he was very concerned. It shows us that we can wait too late to get concerned about things that we ought to be thinking about here and now. That we can come to a realization that, yes, something needs to be done, but it'll be past time to do anything. And so this story about the rich man and Lazarus teaches us to take advantage of the present, to do what we can as God gives us opportunity on a daily basis, to learn from this story that we need to have compassion and concern for people in this life while doors are opened by God for us on a regular basis, and step through those doors and minister to the needs of people physically, to teach people about their spiritual condition so that they can repent before death takes them by surprise or the Lord comes back before they're prepared. We also see here that God's word is sufficient to persuade people. He pleads with Abraham to send Lazarus. Abraham says they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. No, he says, if someone comes back from the dead, that will persuade my brothers. And Abraham points out that that's not the case. That if the inspired word of God does not cause people to live right, to repent of their sins, to turn to God, then someone coming back from the dead will not persuade them either. We have examples of that in the ministry of Christ. Those who witnessed the death, but also the resurrection of Lazarus. Some of them believed, and others, even seeing that, were not persuaded. And they went and told various Pharisees about what had occurred, so that there was the plotting made to then bring about the death of Jesus Christ. God's word shows us that life is unpredictable. We can have life and health one day and be gone the next. We don't know how long we have, but what we know from this parable is very clear, that we ought to make preparation for the coming time that is most certainly going to come, and therefore, knowing the things that we do, there are things that we ought to be actively doing while we have the opportunity now. Thinking about the importance of fulfilling Christ-likeness in our daily walk. Who was benevolent and caring for people. He was one who sought to fulfill his Father's will while he had the opportunity in this life, so that on the cross he's able to say, "It is finished." Every day that we live, we can live in such a fashion to say, "I've done what I could today. I finished today and been faithful to the Lord. I've taken advantage of opportunities to do good that were presented to me. And I know that if the Lord comes again, that I'm ready for him. If death comes before I expect it, I'm ready." When we think about the souls around us that are lost in sin, surely this story of the rich man and Lazarus also reminds us of the fact that we need to care, but care enough to make intercession, to step in to the lives of people and to speak words that stir up their thoughts about where they are spiritually before we don't have opportunity to do that. That could be because we depart, or that could be because they depart, or that could be because Jesus comes again. Are you ready for his coming tonight? Are you prepared as one who has realized the sin that is in your life and desires to come to the Lord to seek that forgiveness and that cleansing? Because it's only through Christ that it's possible for us to be made whole spiritually, to be prepared as was Lazarus for his death. through faith in Jesus Christ and a turning from sin, a confession of our faith in Jesus and a willingness to be baptized. That act of baptism is where the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to this sin-stained soul. And then white, pure, clean is what we would use to describe the soul after the forgiveness made possible by the blood of Jesus. If you've already done those things, but you examine your life and you contemplate the way that you've lived and you reflect and you think, you know, there are things I know that are not right and I need the prayers of my brothers and sisters in Christ, or I need to become zealous again for the Lord, I need to rededicate my life, whatever your needs are, you know the Lord can help you with them. We'd be happy to assist as well as we stand and as we sing.